From JMIS, Andrew Kelleher, very good morning to you.
Hello.
Now, in our monthly economic indicators, what are we looking forward to? What do we got? What are they telling us?
Yeah, Mike, the pre-foo that we talked about, the pre-election fiscal updates, getting reasonable exposure at the moment, and actually some of the heated moments in last night's debate involved people talking about forward spending and what is affordable and what isn't. And for me, Mike, this is becoming a key, what I call the silent aspect of the political debate. Everybody is arguing about how to spend the money, but there's no real focus on how it's going to continue to be generated. You need the economy to keep going, or else the money won't be there to be able to be spent. Now, the monthly economic indicators released by Treasury, they're not usually market moving, but one sentence yesterday caught my eye, and it read like this: a potentially material risk is the extent to which the cooling housing market spills over into household behaviour. Now, we know the housing market is stabilising. That's a good thing. We know this addresses housing affordability, and that's a good thing as well. But how much is a buoyant housing market actually baked into the forward growth expectations? And if we get lower growth, if we get the housing market slowing for whatever reason, if we get a changing sentiment in the housing market, you get lower spending. And then you get less tax, and then you get smaller surpluses, and you don't have the money to spend. So housing market adjustment needs to be gradual, not abrupt. And so, you know, cutting off migration at the same time could be quite problematic, I think. So, and if you look at these forward numbers, Mike, you look, say, between the 18-19 year and the 19-20 fiscal years, there's a 5% growth in revenue baked into those numbers. So if you can't keep the economy growing, you won't have the money to spend. And so we're not hearing enough focus on that at the moment, I believe.
Well done. Tell me about Sky. How bad is it?
Well, it's not great, is it? I mean, when we talk about the local share market, Mike, how often do we talk about multi-decade lows on NZX 50 stocks? And that's a pretty substantial thing to be talking about. So Sky yesterday hitting 18-year lows. And you've talked about this already, about Amazon making a play for New Zealand's rugby rights. And the real speculation, I think, revolves around how important those rugby rights are to the long-term health of the Sky TV business. Is that the only reason people have Sky? And I think that's the key that you need to understand more. I mean, some people have Sky for channel choice, not necessarily just rugby, but look, if I do that, but I may be in the minority. I mean, certainly Sky TV's got no friends in the share market at the moment. Now, we're focusing on the Amazon issue, but remember the recent profit announcement did reveal more structural problems. It's not just about Amazon. They're losing subscribers, and there's a heightened or highlighted perception of inflexibility with a set-top box. And, of course, all the competition coming from Netflix, Lightbox, and those other streaming services. So it's not just about Amazon, but that might just be the catalyst to really push it down. Now, we know there's going to be disruption, but what the landscape looks like at the end is, I think, is quite unclear. And the whole thing about the rugby, actually, Mike, I mean, I know they can lose the broadcasting rights, but can Amazon just walk in and start covering rugby games? I mean, do they have the production teams?
It's a very good point. And let me tell you this, that's where I think the New Zealand Rugby Union will get involved, because it's imperative that it's all very well collecting the money from whoever buys the rights, but it's also imperative for the New Zealand Rugby Union to have rugby seen by New Zealanders in a way that's acceptable. And if you look at that Coliseum thing when they got the EPL a couple of years ago, it was a disaster.
Didn't work. Yeah, didn't work. So I think, look, at some point, people, the share market, the people will see value in Sky. But at the moment, there's just a big bus coming from the sell direction, so you've got to wait for that to clear through. But when the dust settles, I think there will be some value in Sky. It's just, what is that value?
Yeah, GDP tomorrow, what's your call?
Well, it's been a bit hard picking this lately, hasn't it?
Now,
because the futures,
get off the fence.
Futures haven't been a reliable indicator. I'm going for small single-digit gains.
Okay.
There you go.
You sound like Bill English. What are the numbers?
Well, the U.S. market had a holiday yesterday, labor market, so the U.S. numbers are unchanged. So that was Dow at 21987, S&P 500 2476, Nasdaq 6435, so no changes there. We're more interested in what's going on elsewhere. FTSE 100 7411, down about 0.4%. The Nikkei, now Asia, Korean tensions, the Nikkei 19,508, down 183, or 0.9%. Shanghai Composite, they actually rose 3379, up about 0.4%. The Korean markets were down over 1%. ASX 200 fell yesterday as well, 5702, down 22 or 0.39%. We fell 14 yesterday. NZX 50 closing at 7808, about 0.2%. New Zealand dollar a little bit stronger this morning, 1 New Zealand dollar 0.7172 against the US, 0.9024 against the Aussie, 0.6024 against the Euro, 0.5549 pounds. 78.61 yen. Gold stronger, $1,334 US, and Brent crude $52.34.
Superb as always. Enjoy your Tuesday. See you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, JMIS, is available to you at jmis.co.nz.